B-Pod Studios.
Good vibes going, baby.
Everybody for Philadelphia 76ers. Here they come, Philadelphia.
It was almost even more enjoyable to watch them win away from home in Brooklyn in a team that was, and Trey's not here today, throwing so much shade at the 76ers. That they just went bonkers and dominated.
You can get away with saying that today. Terry's not here.
I'm going to be throwing shade all about throughout the morning today.
Willy-nilly, you're going to be throwing shade.
Trey Thomas, folks, is, I believe today, driving to Florida.
Well, they did about 7 hours worth. Yes, 6 or 7 hours
they
worth
did.
Yesterday.
Okay,
yeah.
So the process continues.
Yeah,
with Trey driving to Florida.
Yes,
he's driving his big ass old truck down to, well, old. It's probably like
brand new.
Yeah,
brand new. Stellar.
What am I nuts? we had a little field trip a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, he said they were going to stay somewhere, and I was like, where? He goes, I don't know. We'll figure it. And I was like, that's about right.
Yeah, just walking to a hotel. This is mine now. All right, Trey, what are you going to argue? With a 6'8" dude like that, Trey Thomas? Love that man. But he's out today, folks. So it's me, Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch. 9 o'clock, we're going to be joined by Devon Givens. He's going to be joining us to break down the 76ers further. You gentlemen will be working with him this weekend, no?
Yeah. Tomorrow at Xfinity, 12 to 3, we'll be doing the Sixers pregame show. And then I know I'm going to be hanging out watching the rest of the game. I think Jamie will stay for a little while, and we got some friends coming over. It's going to be a good day, Mark.
Oh, look at that. Well, you know what? Last night was a good night in the city of brotherly love, watching the 76ers absolutely handle their business against the Brooklyn Nets. And throughout the morning, I'm going to make this promise to you folks, throughout the morning, every hour, all right, we're going to play it in the next segment. But every hour, you'll hear the big highlights from last night's game as called by the great Tom McGinnis right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. And I just sat back, and I absolutely was marveling at the performance of Ben Simmons. Absolutely marveling at the point. And here's something that he has done a little bit throughout the season, but I've seen it a lot the last two games. This little baby hook that he's developed, this little sky hook that he's developed. For a guy that, I'm the guy that wants to see the outside shot develop, and I know it's a big part of the game, and some people want to say, no, he's good like this. No, develop that part of the game. Shooting in basketball is good. I'm shocked we have to have that conversation. I'll take this little baby hook all day long, man, if he wants to throw it in. He seems like he has got that down, absolutely down, and he was using it to his advantage last night.
Yeah, when you look at 31 points, in the long and short of it all, are you really looking and say, okay, how many of those were 12 to 15 foot jumpers? Yeah, you know, like I've said to you before many times, Mark, if he just can get to the basket and finish there at the regularity I think he can, being ambidextrous, being able to both power and finesse his way there, it doesn't matter if he has that 10 to 15 foot jumper, really. I mean, you're forcing a team to play a defense that's not ordinary, backing off like that, and one that you can exploit. So I'm okay with it right now.
There were so many things he did just so well in this game. There was only one thought I had that was on, and we'll talk about it throughout the show, but we're going to be amped throughout the morning, as you would expect.
But no puppy pictures today!
Exactly. We don't want no sorrows. We don't need no puppies to comfort
us
today.
Unless it's sad Jared Dudley puppy face.
Do you think they're doing a puppy show in Brooklyn today?
They should be.
They probably should be doing that.
Because they got their doors blown off.
It was just pure poetry is what we were watching. But the incredible thing that I'm watching with Ben Simmons is that you're seeing him play this well at this high level. Both times have been after adversity.
Yep.
And look, I'm not trying to be negative here. I love this, and we're going to be happy-go-lucky all day long. But all I'm saying is, is this the type of player he needs to be? Does he need a kick? Does he need a spark to get to this level? Because when he gets to this level, oh my God, this is the all-star. During game two, I had talked about how this is the elite version of Ben Simmons. You want to talk about an all-star? You want to talk about a guy that could be a generational talent? This guy, 31 points with the best field goal percentage in a playoff game in Sixers history with 30-plus points? Yeah, he's pretty damn elite.
That doesn't sound average.
No, I wanted to go back and chart how many were scored in a half-court set. Not in transition by the basket, but by how many were in the half-court set.
I think the majority of them last night were.
There was
a couple. There was the fast break dunk.
Fast break dunk on the outlet from JJ.
Oh, the earth shattered.
Yeah, there was a couple, but the majority was half court.
I didn't think he was going to last. The long jump through the air.
He took off almost from the free throw line.
I was like, he's not going to make it. He's not going to make it. Oh, he made it.
It was incredible. Easy.
He really did. But when he gets that extra, look, he's a great player. I think he's a great player. But when it comes to that little extra incentive he gets of throwing it in your face and not talking about it, and I will give Ben Simmons this credit. I still think that he should have, and look, the longer this gets dragged out with Chris Sheridan. By the way, he had to address a report yesterday, I believe it was from Crossing Broad, about not being fired.
Yeah.
Okay, write a story. Write a story and write a story about puppy dogs and ice cream and have the Daily News run it up in New York and see what happens. But he said he's not fired yet, whatever. But I still wish he would have addressed that more head on and just said, yeah, that's ridiculous. That's it. Not, yeah, we're talking about the playoffs. But when he gets to this silent assassin gear that he has and he has that extra added motivation, Bob, no one's stopping this guy.
No.
No one's. Because you know what? He's figured out a way to actually beat that almost zone type of basketball that they'll play, where five guys just sag off, stay close to the paint, make the guy shoot from the outside, especially Ben Simmons. Because he now is going, all right, to hell with it. I'm 6'10". I'll back you down.
Yeah.
Let's party.
And if you notice, the Sixers are doing a great job of spreading when they do it. And last night, every time he got the ball at the top of the key and he recognized that they were sagging so much, it was like you could see an engine revving up. Mm-hmm. He just, ba-boom, and then he went. And he went hard. And like I said to you yesterday, 6'11", top of the key, one, two dribbles, going as hard as you can to the basket. Tell me how many NBA players are going to stop that. Not many.
No.
Kawhi and Giannis, maybe.
And then you take it further. If his guy's going to back off so much, they're doing a really good job of having either JJ, Tobias, whatever, come off of a dribble high handoff, and now it's a 2-on-1. Mm. It's simple. It's a 2-on-1. If Ben Simmons gets a good pick, you have one defender there with Ben Simmons and, say, a J.J. Redick. It's an open jump shot every time. They've done a masterful job of recognizing defenses and applying what they want to do offensively. And then defensively, it's so obvious what they're doing of just flushing the Nets to the basket. I was a little annoyed at one point last night. You want to force them to shoot inside the lane, but they were letting them. And there's a little bit of a difference there. They were letting them get easy floaters. No, you want to force it, but you still want to defend it a little bit.
Sure.
You know what I mean? But their game plans have just come to fruition these last two games.
Mark, ESPN Stats and Info did your research for you.
Oh, good.
Ben Simmons finished 9 of 11 in the half court tonight. 2 for 2 in transition.
Wow.
How? And both those were fast break dunks or layups?
Yes.
All 11 of his shots. I was just looking at the shot chart inside the lane.
You know what? I don't want to go Will Chamberlain here, folks. But Bob wasn't there, and I know you didn't grow up with Will Chamberlain. I'm not going to because of that. But I'm just saying, I think Greg Monroe grew up with Will Chamberlain, though. But watching that game last night, watching Ben Simmons, and hearing that stat, remember that year Will Chamberlain, everyone said, oh, you never passed the ball, so he led the league in assists?
Yeah.
Remember that time Jared Dudley was like, you can't score, you're average in half court, and he scored, how many was it, Jamie? 9 of 11 in half court?
Yeah.
Bada boop, bada beep. That's all I'm saying.
And Trey just chimed in on Twitter.
I rest my case.
Did he?
Yeah. What's up?
Yeah, I guess he's awake. He wants to know who farted on the bench. He said the big fella's still trying to figure out who farted.
He just tweeted that?
Yeah.
You know what? This show never takes a day off. When you think about it, we're never not working. We are never not working.
Yeah, it's kind of annoying, isn't it?
Yeah, man. We grind, bruh. We grind.
Hey, it's nothing better than waking up at 2:30 on a Saturday and saying, oh, yeah, I can sleep in, but I'm wide awake because I'm ready to go to work.
That lasts 2 days for me. If I ever take extended time off, I always...
For the first 2 days,
first
that's it?
2 days, I wake up at whatever... My first alarm always goes off at 2:30, and then snooze, 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 snooze. And then I look at the clock and I go, oh, I can sleep.
Yeah, that's the best feeling ever, isn't
I'm going to do that. Yeah, it's like a snow day. It's like your own personal
really
snow
is,
day.
Yeah.
610-632-0975. Coming up, we'll give more of this Ben Simmons story and everything that he was doing in the game. We'll get into the who farted fiasco, we'll call it, on the bench for the Sixers last night. We'll get to the bottom of that story.
I'm trying to be dumb, man.
And you know what? The team was in your absence last night. And, good for all them.
We got to get into that. That's weird.
Well, that's the concern. That is a huge concern. I think we all realize that because our friend Trey did tell us, yeah, you're not wearing a knee brace for tendonitis. You're wearing that because something else is wrong.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, him not playing last night. And Bob, I heard you in the five. We have to ask the question. Whether or not you want to see Joel Embiid play in game four or five, or however long the series goes. Or if you say, all right, we'll play him in game seven if it comes to it, which it won't. But my question I do want to put out here, and Jamie, I know Sam's not here, but we can put this out.
Oh, yeah, I'll be the poll.
He's the poll man today.
Here's what I want to get into. Will the Sixers win out in this series?
Okay.
Is this a Sixers series? Is there any way Brooklyn bounces back? But basic question, will the Sixers win the remaining games in this series? We'll put that out on the Twitter poll brought to you by Window Nation. As I said, when we come back, you will hear the highlights from Tom McGinnis from last night's game as heard right here on 97.5 The Fanatic and the 76ers 131-115 win over the Brooklyn Nets. And I will give my love and admiration to a man named J.J. Redick. Time at The Fanatic, 611. Welcome back, everybody.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning. Trey off today. Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Andrew Salchunas. We are playing. We are like the 76ers today. That's what we are. We don't have Joel Embiid today. We got Sam out. We got Trey out.
I like that.
We just got to do our thing. I call being TJ McConnell. I'll come in at the end for 2 minutes, and then we'll have our fun after that.
You want to? So you're going to be TJ? Huh?
Yeah. Good luck to you, Bob. You're Ben today.
I'll do Ben.
So what was with the argument about Greg Monroe? You guys hate Greg Monroe or something? What's going on here? What's the matter with you people?
You just had a great 16-point win last night. You go up 2-1 in the series, and all Jamie can concentrate on is how much Greg Monroe sucks.
He was, I didn't realize I was going to be doing the show today with a Greg Monroe apologist.
Well, Bob is the official president of the Greg Monroe fan club.
That's right.
Our caller T. Will is the vice president, and I believe Pat Egan is treasurer.
What, can I be ambassador or something?
You want in?
I think I want in.
What's wrong with you people? He stinks.
What were you expecting?
He bricked four layups.
Yes, he did. It was awful. It was
six
terrible.
Six offensive rebounds.
Yeah, and I think five of them were from his
Tobias
own misses.
Tobias had 16 rebounds.
Yeah, Tobias is getting
done. Tobias had 16 rebounds.
What kind of argument is that? Go die on Greg Monroe Hill. Have fun there.
When did Addy get here? When did Addy get here? What just happened there? But we got some open lines for you.
Addy has hashtag things my wife say during sports.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
She had one last night.
Oh, really?
At the end of the game when Ben was doing the interview with Serena Winters on the court, she goes, you know, I think Ben Simmons looks like Cleopatra.
Oh, I saw that on Twitter last night.
And I was like, you know what? I kind of see where you're coming from. Like, he's got that real, like, pretty nose.
Dude, thank God Julius Caesar.
Good bone structure.
Thank God Julius Caesar and Mark Anthony ain't around no more. They'd be all after Ben.
So hashtags my wife thing says during sports was in full fire last night.
Julius Caesar be sitting sideline wearing his Kenny jersey or whatever it might be.
But even she recognized that Greg Monroe sucks.
All right. I'm watching him last night, and I'm going, sweet God, make it stop.
Stop shooting!
Please, Greg Monroe,
just
stop.
Board and attempt defense. That's all I ask of you.
Attempt defense is a good way of putting it.
That is a good way to put it. But in all seriousness, I need to give love to J.J. Redick. Because I've ripped him defensively, right? Mostly, rightfully so. But the hustle he had last night. I was watching the game last night with my wife, my brother-in-law, and his two sons, right? And one son is 14, he's playing basketball, right? He's a pretty good player, he's a tall kid for his age and all that. I rewound the TV, and I said, look at this play. It was the play that was a turnover by the Brooklyn Nets, and it was thrown out of bounds, where they were going for Joe Harris on an elbow three, right? And J.J. Redick is running around with Joe Harris as much as J.J. Redick runs around to get himself an open three.
Right.
He's fighting through screens to get to that. He forced the turnover basically on that play. And the guy, my nephew goes, oh, look at that, bad pass. And I go, I want you to see this. I rewind the tape. I go, look at that man right there, hustle around, make things happen. And he watched it. He goes, oh, wow.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, that's hustle. The guy, he doesn't have an ounce of defensive talent in his body, but you know what? He's hustling. The defense will always be there. And J.J. Redick last night absolutely had that hustle when he was guarding on Joe Harris, and he had 5 threes for you in the game. But what was most impressive to me for J.J. Redick was the way he was again blanketing defensively in this game. I mean, if you get into it with this game last night, the defense was really just incredible. Yeah, it was another 100-plus point game for the Brooklyn Nets. They're just trying to keep pace with the Sixers. But defensively, when they needed to step up and make plays, they stepped up and they made plays in this game.
They're making their bodies felt. They're coming through the screens, and what they're doing is just, they're just staying on. They're staying on a hip, or they're staying behind, which they weren't doing before. What they were doing before was when they came off picks, it was that hesitation of you got them, I got them, hedge or cover, whatever it may be. But now they're even going behind, where like Joe Harris might be right at the three-point line, but here comes Redick behind him. So you feel that presence, and your obvious reaction is, okay, I got to dribble into the lane. And that's exactly what the Sixers want them to do. They're shoveling everything into the lane. I thought they might change it up. I started thinking last night when I saw Embiid was out. I was like, ooh, how does this change the defensive philosophy? Because you don't have that rim protector in there. If Embiid's out, are you going to shovel everything into Greg Monroe, Boban? But they didn't change it. They kept doing it, and it worked out perfectly.
By the way, watching the game with three people that weren't from Philadelphia or were not really Sixers fans,
right?
They were just enamored with Bobby.
He's the greatest.
Every time he did anything on the court, they were, whoa, really impressed with Boban Marjanovic. And how could you not be? The man was hustling for you last night as well and getting you some points off the bench. But this brings me to pretty much what will be a big question from now until the end of this series. When do you let Joel Embiid back into this series?
As soon as he can play. Rest isn't doing anything. If he says I'm good and they say, no, take some more time. What? Rest has not done anything to help this.
Mm-hmm.
So if he says, I feel good, okay, here you go. Here's 25, here's 30 minutes.
I am concerned, and I'm ecstatic about the win, and I think we're all a little concerned here. When it comes to Joel Embiid, we don't know what's going on. It started out as load management, then it was tendonitis, and then he appeared in pregame shoot-around in what, after game one, with a knee brace?
Mm-hmm.
As we talked about before the break, Trey Thomas pointed out to us that that doesn't mean that that's tendonitis. That when you have a knee brace, you're not wearing that for tendonitis.
Yeah.
And then he's like, that means something structurally is wrong. And then we had a caller call up and, hey, look, give it to what he was, backed up what Trey said and said he had the same knee brace. And that was an issue that he had with structure. It wasn't anything with ligaments. It wasn't anything with tendonitis.
Right.
It was structural damage in his knee. So if that's the concern, if that's a worry, which it is for me, when he's missing game three of a postseason game, of a playoff game, I think it should be a concern for everybody, because if they have any shot whatsoever to get past the second round of the playoffs, they're kind of going to need that Joel Embiid guy.
Yeah, not kind of.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's concerning because he became such a regular during the season. I mean, he was out there all the time until you got to the All-Star break. I mean, he was, you know, a game here and there, sure, no big deal. But he was, you could count on him for 30 minutes a night before the All-Star game. It was as good as gold. And then all of a sudden, the load management thing came up. And then all of a sudden, so it's obviously degenerative. It's not something, there wasn't a play where it happened that mm-hmm. I recall. You know, he went and played in the All-Star game, and then all of a sudden, things started there. It's not good. You're right. It's not good. But you just got to hope to ride it out this year and then come up with some sort of a plan. Ride it out for the rest of this playoffs and then hope you have some sort of plan that helps in next year.
Could it have happened when he dove into the stands in New York? If it was a structural thing, if it was something that was absolutely injured with impact or anything like that, whatever it might have been.
He throws his body around like kind of borderline reckless.
Yeah.
So it's tough to even pinpoint.
Reckless abandon, as they might say.
I mean, it's good because he's hustling and trying, but yeah, it's tough to pinpoint when he's falling down 4 to 5 times a game.
So do you play him again in this series?
Yes.
When do you play him?
Like Bob said.
As soon as he's healthy?
Yeah, I mean, I guess. You know, he had off 13 of the last 24 games. Rested him no good.
Mm.
So if he feels like he can go. If he can, he can't. It sucks.
I feel like he can be active throughout the playoffs, throughout the rest of this series, with not playing in a game. I feel like, even like rest, you're right. It might not do anything, but I don't think it's going to hurt. I think you can actually still work them out, but you don't have to put them on the court for 35, 40 minutes.
Well, they originally told us that rest was bad.
Right, but like, then they gave him off 8 games after the All-Star break.
So I don't know what to think. My head's in a pretzel.
And then they managed his load towards the end of the season.
Yeah.
Let's not forget the load management that happened as well.
Load management.
But and here's the other thing. So the reason this comes into question is obviously for two reasons. One, the obvious, he didn't play last night. And then two, the Sixers' chemistry was so on point last night. These guys were drawing up plays for each other by the time the game was ready to close out with J.J. Redick and Jimmy Butler. Brett Brown even talked about it after the game. Ben Simmons, arguably, even though he didn't have a triple-double, had a better game this time around than he did in game one.
Yes,
or excuse me, game two.
Game two, right?
So when you look at all this stuff going for the Sixers, look, you're going to need them to get past Toronto. I don't think you're going to need them to get past the Brooklyn Nets. This was the decisive game to me. I said it yesterday. I said they would win. I was a little off. I said they'd only win. I said they'd only win by 8. It ended up being a little bit more than that. But for me, when I look at it, what I'm trying to decipher is whether or not they're going to need Joel Embiid to get through the rest of this playoff series. Because I don't think they're going to need him to get past. They're definitely going to need him to get out of the second round. But for this playoff series, if he needs some time off, take some time off.
Yeah, and I hear you. And maybe that becomes the norm. Maybe that's how you handle the rest of his career. But I don't know. I'm just of the ilk. If he can go in the playoffs, go. I don't care if it's a 3-1. You got to go. And that's what I want to see.
What did I just get done saying? No days off. No days off for this squad. Ladies and gentlemen, on the line with us. I don't know where he's at, what state he's in, but I know he's on his way to Florida. Mr. Trey Thomas. Good morning, Trey.
Good morning to my crew, man. You know what, Mark? You've worn off on me. I mean, you know, it's like, you know what? I step away and it's like, all right, I won't back in.
Just when you thought you were out.
Yeah, I'm right back in. I mean, you know, so, but we got important things to deal with. I mean, who the hell farted on the bench?
I'm giving it Embiid, Trey. I think it was him.
I mean, come on, man. How do you, okay. Because I was dealing with this last night, and, you know. I'm like, how do you pick a fight with the elbow and then the giggling in the press conference, and then you find out, oh, they're upset and they might retaliate. Oh, you know what? I can't go.
I don't know, man. But apparently, the fart, I assume, just threw people off.
Man, come on, man. Come on, man. But you know what? One thing I can say, though, I like how Big Ben came in, showed his aggression, showed some leadership out there on the court. That's what you're looking for out of your players. But, my man, but how does Joel not play in this game?
It's the boo-boo you were talking about. I'm thinking it's worse than you were thinking, than you were originally thinking, Trey.
It's tendonitis, man.
What if it's not? He had that knee brace. What did you say about the knee brace the other day?
I said that it's structural. You know what I'm saying? I think, you know, when you put on a knee brace like that, it seems like you may have some type of structural something that's going on the side. But if it was a structural situation where if it was a tear somewhere, they would have taken care of that. You're not going to play through. Now, if it's a minor meniscus tear, you can play through something like that. But when you have all this time off that they've given them before, that's a minor scope. That's something that, you know, you've had guys come back in a week or two. You know what I'm saying? That's not a really long rehab that goes behind that. So when you're dealing with tendonitis, man, ice cup it and let's go. Especially when it's a situation where you go out there, pick a fight, and then it's like, you know what? You know, I can't go because they upset.
So I am thinking this is not just tendonitis, which is why I actually do want to sit him for the rest of the series, Trey. I want to just say that it is and ice cups and all that stuff for everybody, but I can't say that. But you're right. As far as the fight that Brooklyn tried to take to the 76ers, they threw everything they could at him yesterday. And guess what? Last night it didn't work for him.
No, it didn't. I mean, because you leave everybody. But Ben and them, I mean, Ben, I like the aggression that Ben took to this game. You know, it seems like he stepped up to the challenge. He stepped up to this. And all of that was going on. So he came in there ready to ball, and the team fed off of it. But my thing is, the big fella, you're the crown jewel. You're the crown jewel. You're the one that everybody's touting to be that guy. But then when it comes to game time, you're on the bench farting.
You think it's him? You think it's Joel Embiid? He's the farter.
Oh, he's definitely the farter.
I'm thinking he's the farter. And then I never – anytime they showed him cutting to him on the sideline, you never saw him supporting the team. You never saw him jumping up or get any type of celebration. Anytime when they came off the bench and everybody stood up to go and greet the players that are playing, he's still down at the end of the bench. I'm like, where is the leadership?
Mm-hmm. You're right. Maybe it's that knee keeping him on there.
Trey, how much can these guys benefit? All right, put yourself back in your playing days. Say if five was out and, you know, you had running backs that had to do better, wide receivers, offensive linemen had to do better because you're missing the crown jewel. How much can like a Ben Simmons, a Tobias Harris, a Jimmy Butler, how much can they benefit from him being out? And how much better can they be when he comes back?
Well, I mean, I think they're going to continue to just ball. Now, I don't know how this is going to affect the relationship between them, because if you have a player that might, where you look at it like, really, man, you're missing the game because of this, that can kind of cause a division. You know what I'm saying? Because now, you know, you're like, everybody like, all right, we can't count on him. All right, all we got is us right here. You know what I'm saying? So that's where I'm kind of concerned with it. But I think that these guys can definitely benefit of it, because now you know that you're going to have to step up. Everybody's going to have to step up their game. I thought Tobias played another hell of a game, where he played a lot more aggressive by getting to the hoop, taking some better shots. He was a good player out there. But, man, I mean, for real, though, man, tendonitis, though. You go out there and you pick a fight and you giggle about it in the press conference. Then when it comes time for you to go and stand up for what you did and you back down off of it, nobody respects that.
Yeah, man. All right, Trey, where are you right now?
I have no idea. I stopped somewhere last night, and we were like, all right, we're going to get a room here. I don't know. We're at a Marriott.
How many more hours ahead of you do you have?
Oh, I probably got about 10 hours. You know, 95 was backed up, you know, so it was bumper to bumper. We were driving, I think, at least 2 miles per hour on 95 for probably a good strong hour or two. So I was like, you know what? I have to pull over right now so that I can go catch this game. And I think I'm in Virginia somewhere. I don't know where I am, man.
Bo, if you're anywhere near Syria. Oh, you're in Richmond. All right.
Yeah,
I don't think that's that far from Syria, Virginia. Just check that out for me, because that's where I'm driving next week.
All right, cool. Will do, man.
Just tell them I'm on my way.
I will let them know. I'll give them two honks.
Trey, thanks for chiming in, man. Great talking to you. Enjoy your time away.
Have a great vacation. Yeah,
enjoy the family.
Guys. I miss you guys.
Oh, I miss you too. We'll get to the bottom of Fartgate. Don't you worry.
All right, man.
See you, buddy. Do you think Trey Thomas, ladies and gentlemen? Do you think Joel was on the bench looking, and there was like blaming Amir or blaming Zaire?
I think there was a farter on the grassy knoll.
No,
I think there could have been a second row farter. There's a guy. You got to go look at the tape, Bob. We got to Zapruder this.
I watched it.
Whoever denied it, supplied it.
Right. He turned around and looked to see if he got the people behind him, too.
I don't know. That guy's got a real guilty face back there.
Yeah, I don't know.
Who's the guy in the hoodie?
Was Amir wearing the hoodie?
It was Zaire.
Zaire had a sport coat.
Oh, no. Zaire was looking like...
He was looking fresh.
Who was all bundled up? Was that Zaire?
No. I don't know who that was. That's my question.
Oh, okay.
Zaire, bundled up guy, JoJo, Amir.
Oh. Bundled up guy might have been like Jonathan Simmons?
Maybe.
And maybe he knew he'd be on TV, so he covered his face. Mm-hmm. He's the farter. I think
a lot of working theories here. We'll get to the bottom of it.
These are fan theories. And then
we'll sniff it out.
And then I think Jonathan Simmons.
I see what you did there.
I didn't. Now I do. I think Jonathan Simmons winds up on the throne. I think that's what's going to happen.
Oh.
A lot of fan theories.
Well, that's probably where he wound up after that.
Bob Cooney.
Curry's a timely deuce.
All right. I promise this. Well, Trey, I didn't know Trey was calling in. And I got to get to it in this segment, because I promised I would. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Tom McGinnis with the fine calls of last night's game right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Simmons in the lane. Simmons on an angle around Kuroot's difficult angle, but he gets it on the run. And Ben Simmons scores it. Here's Ben back down low. Ben in the lane with a right-hand layup. It's good. Tobias Harris to the line. Another three. It's good again. Tobias Harris from Long Island. Feeling it here in Brooklyn. Sixes go up by eight. Jimmy Butler comes to get it. Now they go to Boban at 16 feet. Marjanovic puts it up and good again. Sixers lead by 11. Sixers ball. Simmons to Redick. JJ for three. Bucket. All net. Quick release. Basketball sniper. Redick knocks it in. Here's a jump hook by Ben and in. Difficult shot by Ben Simmons. Swooping it left to right with a skyhook. 7 of 8 for Simmons. 6 seconds to go in the first half. Butler to Redick. JJ turns. Fires. Rimino rebound slam. Ben Simmons, and he flexes for his teammates along the bench. Simmons slam. Sixers into the front court. Simmons down to Tobias. Layup up. Good and a foul. Tobias Harris puts it in. Timeout Brooklyn. Here's Jared Dudley for three. Air ball. And you can hear it all the way from Philly. Dudley does. Air ball. And when he dribbles it, almost lost it out of bounds. Has to jump. He throws it back. And the Sixers steal the ball. Ahead to Betty. Head into the lane. Oh, yeah. Ben Simmons soars. And a two-hand stout. Ennis to Boban. Down to Jimmy. Butler surrounded by three men. Bumped out of bounds. He kicks it out to Tobias. Off balance. Three ball right side. That's good. What a shot by Tobias Harris. A triple from the right perimeter. And the Sixers have gone up by nine. 2:53 to go in the ballgame. They inbound. Oh, they throw it right to Ben Simmons. On to Jimmy for the jab. Game three is headed for the Sixers.
How about that, ladies and gentlemen?
He called him Benny.
Benny, man.
Benny. He went Benny. I never heard Benny before.
I was thinking about this. Like, he is, like, when he gets that edge to him, he's like a big horned bull, like, charging at a matador.
Yeah.
That's what he's like.
Yeah. Try to stop that. I thought, like I said, try to stop that.
I was thinking about this, Jamie. I heard you say bull in the 5 o'clock hour, and I was thinking to myself, Benny the Bull?
Ah.
Is that the Chicago?
That's the Chicago Bulls
greatest mascot in the league. I love Benny the Bull.
Well, don't give me that look. How dare you, Bob? Big Shot was the greatest mascot in the league history.
I didn't say was.
You didn't say history. But I understand what you're saying.
Big Shot's the great.
Benny's good.
Now, I did, for the Greg Monroe apologists, I did put together a highlight reel for Greg Monroe. I did do
crickets.
That. Jamie, would you mind playing the old-timey mix that I put together? Yeah. Thank you.
Sixers to Simmons, going right at Jared Allen. Into the lane, Greg. Left-hand shot by Monroe is good. Another nice dish by the Sixers in the lane. Ben Simmons lays it off for Greg Monroe, and Monroe puts it in. Monroe with the rebound. Monroe runs the floor, goes in, and scores it on Jared Dudley. Monroe making an impact at both ends of the floor.
See?
There you go.
Uh-huh.
I got this because I Googled Greg Monroe's favorite song, and this is his favorite song.
Is that right?
This was the number one song at his senior prom.
This was his prom theme.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I think it was his wedding song also.
Well, he loves it so much. Yeah, Greg Monroe.
Yeah.
Came over here to miss layups. 610-632.
Talking to the president of the fan club right there. You're amongst royalty.
I
got people tweeting me like, you don't know the game.
I had a guy come at me hot yesterday, man. He was like, oh, Sixers aren't going to win tonight. You don't know basketball. You know anything about it. And I'm like, yeah, okay there, buddy. Yeah, I know a thing or two. Thing or two there, guy there, buddy. 610-632-0975. We got Vincente. We got Alex. We had open lines after that. 610-632-0975. Coming up, Brett Brown and his players getting on the same page. They talked about it post-game. We'll let you hear what that means coming up in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic. But you know what else we'll let you know about? Natural Lawn of America. Everyone loves a nice green lawn, but you don't want to sacrifice the safety of our loved ones. Nobody does when it comes to your lawn. You want to make sure it's as safe as possible because you don't want kids, your pets, your neighbor's pets, your neighbor's kids, anybody really walking around on a lawn that you don't feel is its absolute safest. So this season, do what I did. Call Natural Lawn of America. They use safer organic-based lawn care products that reduce the amount of chemicals used on your lawn. And with Natural Lawn, you don't have to sacrifice beauty for safety. They actually do keep your grass greener. I've seen it in progress, seen it at work, and they also keep those weeds away. For over 25 years, Natural Lawn has been recognized as the leader in organic-based lawn care. And whether you live in PA or New Jersey, Natural Lawn's customized treatments will give you the lush green lawn that you've always wanted. For a limited time only, Natural Lawn is offering $100 off their full service program. That's right, $100 off. If you want a greener lawn with fewer weeds, and who doesn't, call Natural Lawn today and tell them Mark Farzetta sent you. Call 855 Lawn Care. That's 855 Lawn Care. Get $100 off right now. Natural Lawn of America, greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Welcome back, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning. Trey with a day off. Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Andrew Salchus, Pat Egan working the phones for you, folks. We do have a Window Nation Twitter poll out there. of course, brought to you by the great people of Window Nation. Looking at the 76ers and what you're expecting from this point out. Will they lose another game in this series? I say no. Vicente Lansdale, what's up, buddy?
Hola, buenos dias, Mark and Trey in the morning crew.
What's up,
hola,
buddy?
Hola. First of all, I want to wish you a happy Easter and happy Passover to all the morning crew, especially Eric Johnson. And second, I was so excited
about
that beautiful game last night. And I was making the Australian connection with Ben Simmons, driving the ball on an elevated train, scoring so perfectly, you know, flying. That's what we are striving to see. And I want to thank that dude, Jared Dudley, for trying to get into Ben Simmons' brain and driving him to the talent. Thank you.
His cabeza.
Cabeza, yes. The local.
Vincente, it was great, man. And when Ben Simmons, look, he has so much talent. I hope at some point in his career, he'll get to this level again without having to have that extra chip on his shoulder. That's what I'm hoping for. That's what I want to see. But as of right now, while the chip's firmly planted on his shoulder, I just want him to keep it there for as long as humanly possible so he keeps playing the way he was.
He was like a runaway train. Nobody could stop it in the middle of the court. You know, they left him alone, so he proved that he deserves to be in this league as one of the best. And I don't know, if Mark, did you ever see that French Connection with Jim Hackman, you know?
The French? No, I haven't seen all of it, no.
I strongly recommend it.
I've heard it's wonderful.
But it does the French Connection, and this is the Australian Connection, making everybody happy. Well, have a wonderful weekend, everybody.
Okay. All right, Vicente, thank you so much. You have a great Easter, buddy. Take it easy, man.
For Correctamundo. We didn't get one.
For Connection, doesn't have to be two?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. Good point. Who else? You can't connect by yourself.
Dante Exum? Is he coming over? Who else? Whatever. Aussies. Anyway.
I don't know.
So here's the thing. I want to get
Andrew
to this real
Bogut?
Quick. There you go.
All right.
No, I think he's occupado, unfortunately.
He is.
But what are you? Now you're ripping Greg Monroe? Now you're coming over? You want another center in here?
No, it's too late, Bob.
No.
don't you come on my side.
Stay on that side.
Stay on that side. How about that? So here you go. I want to
kick an ass and taking names.
Vicente brought this up, and I do love this. When you look at the everything that went back and forth between Jared Dudley and also Ben Simmons and all that other fun stuff, Ben Simmons has no time for it. And this is where I actually don't mind Ben Simmons saying nothing. Because with two or three words, he says everything. And it's basically, don't waste my time with this scrub.
Yeah.
And who was it? Was it Nurkic? Who did he say it to? Where he was just like, you know, for a guy whose game is ass, you talk a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was on the free throw line. Somebody said it might have been Nurkic. Yeah.
I think it was.
And he basically was treating this the same way. Like, dude, Jared Dudley, come on.
He's a man of few words.
So Jared Airball Dudley, as I like to call him. I'll change his nickname from Jared, YMCA Dudley, to Jared Airball Dudley. Here he is yesterday and was asked in the press conference after the game about that little spat between he and the Dudley fella.
Jared Dudley comments.
Sorry, that was a pregame one. Coming from Jared Dudley. A guy wants to say that I'm average in the half court. Yeah, coming from Jared Dudley. Whatever it was, what was he, Jamie? 11 for 12 in the half court in this game?
9 of 11 in the half court. 11 of 13 overall, 2 for 2 in transition.
So what you're telling me is he's pretty good.
He's definitely not average.
That was about an above average performance.
Yes, I would say so.
Well, not too shabby. Coming up in a minute, we'll let you hear about Brett Brown and the timeout that was called later in the game with Jimmy Butler, J.J. Redick, and Tobias Harris kind of drawing up plays for themselves.
Yeah.
I know the Brett Brown haters will jump on this and say, oh, look, the coach can't even do it. Well, no, it's a matter of working together.
He's done that before, during the process. There would be timeouts, and Joel Embiid, when he was hurt, he would say, what do you see here? You draw something up. Mm-hmm. He's big on that letting guys have a big word in it. And it showed last night, even earlier, Mark. I was saying in the 5 o'clock, there was a play where Sixers come down court. Brett was in front of the bench, and Jimmy Butler was behind him. And all of a sudden, you see Brett's head turn around, and Butler says something to him, and it's like they were talking strategy. And then they get done, and Brett puts his hand out, and they slap each other's hand, and Brett walks by, and you know, he's got a smile on his face. And it literally looked like my friends and I were watching. We said, Butler and him were just talking strategy, middle of the game. Brown took it in, was like, cool. They slapped hands, and, you know, that's good to see.
Oh, it's great.
That's on the same page. That's not a team that's lost its coach.
No. And,
or a coach that's lost his team.
Right, exactly. And the other part of it is that I have never seen Brett Brown be this animated on the sideline.
I said that to Jamie during a break.
Really?
Yeah, I've never seen him coach this hard. And I've seen a lot of Brett's coaching games, you know, up close and personal. I mean, screaming, going at it, encouraging, out on the floor. There was one time last night, I think the Sixers were about to break down. He was so far out on the floor, I thought the referee or the ball was going to hit him.
Mm.
And then he jumped back off. Yeah, he's going at it.
One of the Nets' offensive rebounds in this game, Brett Brown jumped out of his shoes and came over to the side and was screaming at everybody to get that rebound. To give those, you can't allow those second chance points. Yes, you could. It was unbelievable.
I am concerned about one thing with Brett.
What's that?
The low pressure showerhead that they had going on in New York last night. He looked like he needed the Russian showerhead out of the back of the truck, like Kramer and what's his name, Newman.
I got a text from my cousin.
He looked a little out of it. Yeah.
To your point, Jamie, and she goes, "What's with Brett? She's a big basketball fan. What's with Brett tonight?"
Yeah, he looked a little sweaty.
He looks like slop. He looks like a slop.
And his hair was flat.
Who said this?
My cousin.
No, my cousin. He's usually very on point with like the beard and the hair and everything. Yeah. And yesterday he looked like, oh man.
He looked like a wet dog.
Spent too much.
He was disheveled a little bit.
He looked sweaty. I was like, what's going on?
And he never loosens the tie. Sometimes he won't wear a tie, but usually when he wears it, it stays up. That thing was loosened in the first quarter.
He coaches hard.
He was coaching hard.
He had that, you're right. He had that unbuttoned at the top there.
Yeah.
Concerned about the hotel shower situation.
I think the Brooklyn Nets are messing with him.
Yeah.
I think
they're low pressure shower.
I know how we'll get them, pretty much. Let's get to, our boy Graf. What's up, buddy? How you feeling today?
What's going on, guys? I feel fantastic. That beginning, Ben Simmons, man. Coming out and making a statement, boys. All that smack talk, he's just like, yo, I don't need a jump shot. I don't need a three-point shot. I'm just going to drive it down your throat and score 31 points.
Dude, it was unreal watching him last night. When he decides he can't be stopped and he throws in that little baby hook, the guy is an elite talent, an absolute elite talent.
Mark, at one point he had a absolute sick hook shot running across the paint there. I don't know if you guys remember. I don't know what at what point in the game it was. I can't truly remember, but it was a wicked. It was just a wicked hook shot. It looked like something that, you know.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.